Okay, our first argued case this morning is number 222290, Cisco Systems, Inc. v. K. Misra. Ms. Oliver.
Good morning, and may it please the Court. Angela Oliver, representing Cisco Systems and arguing on behalf of the appellants. The Board committed a fundamental legal error in this case. When analyzing the motivation to combine, the Board required Cisco to establish a benefit that would be brought about by the combination, even though this combination is a simple substitution combining one known technique instead of another. This court reversed another board panel in Intel versus PACT for making that same mistake. And following Intel, this court should reverse the board's motivation determination here and vacate and remand. But even if Cisco was required to establish a benefit to the combination, Cisco did. The board's decision otherwise was based on the faulty assumption that Glykoff's reference to XML somehow translates to displaying a quarantine notification on a web page. But that is not supported in the record, and in fact, K. Misra did not even argue that. So for this additional reason, we would ask this court
to
vacate.
Does it make practical sense to combine two references and each reference simply, essentially mirrors the other in terms of function and claims?
I think it does. In fact, I think that's what KSR contemplates, and that might be one of the most straightforward cases of obviousness, because if you're just swapping out two known techniques that accomplish the same thing, it makes sense that that would come to an artisan's mind and would be obvious to one of skill in the art. And that's what I think we have in the Intel versus PAC decision. The facts in that case are very similar. There, the two references were presented in a very similar context, and they both addressed the same problem of cache coherency. One addressed it using one known technique, and the second reference addressed that problem using a different known technique. And the combination simply swapped out those two known techniques. And in that case, the board had used similar reasoning as to what the board did here. The board had said, well, if the primary reference already addresses the problem using one technique, there would be no reason to change it because there wouldn't be an improvement. But this court squarely rejected that analysis and said the fact that both references do address the same problem using different techniques is precisely why there is a motivation to combine under KSR and under this court's precedents. And the court expressly rejected the idea that you would need to show a benefit from making that sort of swap between those two known techniques.
Could you be specific as to what exactly is being swapped out? Because I think what the claim requires is that a quarantine notification web page be provided. And I think the reference, what does the reference teach?
The primary reference, Glykoff, teaches notification messages, and it
just doesn't say it's a web page, right?
That's correct, it does not.
And so your simple substitution is taking a notification message and saying instead it would have been obvious to use a notification web page as taught by a secondary prior art reference, right?
Yes, a web page served from a quarantine server.
And the, as I understand it, the board said that because the primary Glykoff already teaches, in their view, a web page, it wouldn't have been obvious to modify it to send a web page?
Yes.
Is that it? I mean, in other words, because it anticipates, you can't find that it's obvious?
That's effectively what the board says. Here they say, they find that Glykoff already discloses this web page, which, again, we believe is not supported. But they also cite the argument from K. Misra's counsel below, suggesting that, well, this could have been done by an artisan. So that would be sort of like an obviousness-type analysis. And that's the ultimate irony here, is that our obviousness rationale was rejected by saying that it essentially would have been obvious to add this feature. And it puts us in a bit of a catch-22 in trying to establish obviousness, because you can't rely on the Glykoff reference alone to show a quarantine notification on a web page because it's not expressly there, certainly not inherently there. And so we did, you know, we dotted our I's and crossed our T's and showed another reference that does presented in the exact same context of this type of system that does this notification message through a quarantine server serving a web page. And so respectfully, that is just swapping known techniques.
And the board to say in its determination that Glykoff does disclose a web page, they were just relying on the existence of XML language, is that right?
That's correct. They only cited one piece of evidence from Glykoff, that's column 20, those five lines in column 20 about XML. And there is nothing tying that disclosure to disclosing these notices on a web page. So that's our second point here, is that finding is simply not supported in the record. And it's something that had Cisco been aware that the board was considering this evidence, we could have addressed it and explained to the board why this does not disclose that. But this was something that the board raised for the first time in the final written decision.
Does Glycoff disclose having a pop-up message?
It doesn't say pop-up verbatim, but that's essentially, it has these plugins that receive the notification message, and so it tells us that the messages are displayed in a text message, which I think could be something like a pop-up on your computer.
Yeah. And it displays that on the same device, right?
I think that's fair. That's a fair reading of Glycoff, yes. But what it does not disclose is a web page that has the quarantine notification. And so that was our obviousness combination.
Does a web page function in Lewis provide more security?
I'm not sure the web page itself. I don't think that's something the parties addressed. But I don't think that's something that goes to the idea of whether a benefit is required. And again, stepping back, I think this goes back to the Intel versus PACT decision. There's no need for us to establish a benefit for this particular combination.
It just seemed to me that Lewis also comes with its own server, right?
Yes, it serves the page from a quarantine.
So when the user is redirected to quarantine, it's actually on a server off the system, off the primary system that's being used.
It would redirect to a quarantine.
Isn't that an added security benefit, a real tangible benefit?
We did present evidence in our petition that would have been an added security benefit to use a different server. That was not something the board addressed, but that was in our petition. And I believe that's paragraph 137 of Dr. Reddy's declaration. But again, the ultimate analysis here is that under Intel versus PACT, we have very similar facts, that this was using one known technique instead of another, and that would have been sufficient under KSR and in Intel versus PACT to demonstrate obviousness without even needing to get into whether a benefit existed from this combination. And again, I'll just clarify that Cisco's rationales here were based on the same known technique rationale that was considered in Intel versus PACT. And that was something that the board did not address and analyze in its final written decision. But we think the evidence and the rationale here is sufficient for the court to reverse the board's motivation determination. Now, I do want to address the board's brief statement that this would have brought about changes to the architecture of the Glycoff system. As Your Honor noted, there may have been benefits that were associated with that change. But at most, the board's statement here does not cite any evidence to suggest that this would have been a significant change in the view of an artisan or complicated or difficult. We presented evidence that this was certainly within the skill of an artisan to make this simple swap, this simple substitution, and there is no evidence that the board cites or that KMISRA presents in its red brief that would suggest this would have been difficult or complicated or viewed as some sort of significant change to the reference. But even if, even aside from that statement, that still does not undermine the known technique rationale addressed in KSR and Intel, which says it is enough to show obviousness so long as the combination is not beyond the skill of an ordinary artisan. So unless there are questions, I will save the rest of my time for rebuttal. But essentially under KSR and Intel versus PACT, we believe this is simply a substitution of one known technique for another.
Thank you, Ms. Oliver. Mr. Wynn.
Please, the court. Good morning, Your Honors. Cliff Wynn for the Pelley KMISRA LLC. First off, I'd like to start off by sort of setting the table by highlighting the fact that the challenge claim of the 705 patent is a complex and novel claim with 10 individual claim elements, and the petitioner at a minimum proposed a combination of three references with certain combinations targeting certain elements and other combinations targeting other elements. And so,
the board's decision here rests on a single notion that the Glycoff is missing this web page notification aspect of it, and that So the question is whether it's obvious to combine Lewis, which does have that feature, with Glykov, right?
That is a dispute, Your Honor.
That's a dispute?
It's undisputed that Glykov already provides some sort of notification message. It doesn't provide it by a quarantine server, a separate quarantine server. It doesn't do any sort of redirection.
Wait, but can I ask you, because I'm confused. You agree that the board found that Glykov discloses every element in the claim except for the notification page step, right?
I don't agree with that, Your Honor. There are other elements within the claim that Glykov by itself does not disclose, and for that reason...
What are those?
I'm sorry?
What are they?
What are the other elements? For example, there's the element that directed towards a trusted platform module. And for that element, petitioner proposes a combination between Glykov and another reference, Ovadia, which is
okay,
not...
So what did the board say about that?
The board didn't say anything. The board was silent on some of the other claim elements, did not address those claim elements, did not address those other combinations. And so I was merely setting the table to highlight that even if the board finds for reversal on this specific issue as to this specific combination, the rest of the case should be remanded back to the PTAB so that it can resolve the other combinations and other claim elements.
Okay. And fair enough. But with respect to this claim element, I mean, you do seem to be arguing that it's not obvious because it's anticipated, right?
That is not what I'm asserting.
What is the argument?
What I'm arguing here is that Glykov by itself does not disclose the limitation for a quarantine notification page served by a separate quarantine server. And what Glykov discloses is redirection to a remediation server. And that's why petitioners need to bring Lewis into the mix in order, because Lewis does teach a quarantine notification page that is served by a separate quarantine server.
And the only purpose of the quarantine server is for the notification, right?
In the context of the claims, yes, ma'am, I would say that is the case.
So you're emphasizing the part of the system that's sending the notification.
The part of the system that's sending a notification, redirection to a separate server to provide that quarantine notification page. And that is what Glykov is missing. It's not just a quarantine notification page, it's not just a quarantine web page, but it has to be served by a separate server. And so this goes to the point.
Which server? The quarantine server.
Yes, the quarantine server, okay. Your Honor. And so this goes to the point of where...
Does the secondary reference teach a quarantine server that sends a quarantine notification page?
Yes, Your Honor, it does. And because it does, in order to make this combination, you would have to now modify Glykov, which categorically redirects traffic to a remediation server. And so instead, the modification this would entail would be to say, no, don't do what you normally do. Don't redirect to a remediation server. Instead, redirect to this separate quarantine server that's taught in Lewis in order to get your quarantine page served.
So and how do you distinguish Intel?
I'm sorry?
How do you distinguish Intel?
How we distinguish it from Intel, there's a number of reasons why this is different than Intel. In the Intel board, if you read the record evidence and the board's decision, the legal error that I believe the Intel board committed was that they categorically required there to be an improvement upon the base reference in order for there to be a motivation to combine with the secondary reference. That is not
what they did here. They say it's not an improvement because it already teaches notification.
We think that was one of many factors, counterbalancing factors, that the board considered in weighing the scales to determine whether there was a motivation to combine. The board considered other factors. The point is, this board did not categorically require there to be an improvement in order for there to be a motivation. This board did not categorically require that the base reference, because of the fact that the base reference already provides some sort of benefit, that there would be no motivation to then do the simple substitution. That is not what this board categorically required. The board certainly considered each of those factors in the balancing of scales, but ultimately what the board found why there was sort of a motivation not to combine, or why a POSITA would be dissuaded from doing this combination, is the extensive modifications that we were required to accommodate the modification. And at APPX 35 of the board's decision, the board kind of walks through and provides a detailed analysis of the steps that would be required to make this combination. And it sort of it lists a number of steps. Number one, as I said before, it would require Glycos Network, which didn't have a separate quarantine server, to now add one. It would also then require Glycos policy server to not redirect traffic as it normally would to a remediation server, and instead redirect it to this quarantine server that's introduced by Lewis. And most critically, it would need to be modified to provide the notification messages to the user to avoid having both the policy server that Glycos already has.
Okay, but the combination of Lewis and Glycos does that, right?
The combination of Lewis and Glycos does that, and what the board was trying to explain was that these steps would be required to accommodate.
You mean not a simple substitution?
It's not a simple substitution. This is simply not a simple substitution case. The court in the PAC versus Intel case had held that the proposed combination needed to be a suitable alternative. And if it was a suitable alternative, and if it was a simple substitution, and if there were a finite number of possible ways to do it, then, of course, why wouldn't a POSITA simply go ahead and...
Well, did you have expert testimony that it would be difficult to combine Lewis with Glycos?
We don't have any expert testimony touching specifically on the difficulty of the modifications, but we do have expert testimony highlighting the fact that these modifications would be necessary. And then the board had mentioned that the petitioner had failed to adequately explain why a POSITA would have been motivated to look to Lewis to introduce such significant changes to the architecture.
But the board said that it's only referring to the benefits part of the equation here, right? It's not referring to the difficulty underlying the mechanics or the functions of combining. It's just that there's no benefit, no reason, no benefit to combine.
Your Honor, we don't believe that the board solely hinged their decision as to whether there was a motivation on whether there was already a benefit in the base reference or not. That was simply one factor in a number of factors to balance the scales. On the other side of the scale, there was the significant architectural changes, and
okay, would you say that's a primary factor?
I wouldn't say it was a primary factor. They were all factors that were taken into consideration.
No, but is this the primary factor?
I would say that it was a primary factor. Yes.
What about the board's saying that Glycos already taught sending a web page because of its reference to XML? I mean, how is that supportable by substantial evidence?
I'll answer your question, Your Honor, but first I don't want to get bogged down into whether Glycos disclosed an XML page or whether it disclosed a web page. The point is that the board was concerned with why a POSITA would do so, given all these factors. And on this XML point, and whether there
the
was...
The board did make that fact finding, right?
The board did make the fact finding.
So it made the fact finding, and it said it used that fact finding as a reason to disregard expert testimony on why the combination would have been made, why there was a motivation, specifically that... you would not have to have additional software display messages, right? So I want to understand, could you answer my question?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'll answer your specific question as to the XML fact finding. We believe that it was based on substantial evidence. There was substantial evidence that Glykauf provided notification messages, maybe via webpage.
Specifically, what I understand that, but what evidence is there that it provided a webpage, or that somehow by reference to XML, that means that it provided a webpage notification?
Let me try to answer that more clearly. So there's two pieces to that. On one hand, Glykauf sort of generally describes web pages and redirection and display of web pages. Then on the XML front, Glykauf did disclose that the specific quarantine notification page can be served up to the user via the XML format. It also says that XML format is sort of one example of application-independent formats, such as XML. And XML stands for Extensible Markup Language, which is sort of like HTML, its cousin, which is hypertext markup language. So it's talking about web pages in maybe a slightly different context. And then here on the notification side, it is talking about a markup language like XML, and it's also talking about application independent formats. And so the board, I think, was well within reason to sort of make the inference that, you know, a POSITA probably could have taken that XML notification message, and it would have been opened up in a browser and it could have been displayed.
Is it your view then that that prior reference teaches sending a web page notification, albeit maybe from a different server?
Yes, Your Honor, albeit from a different server.
What would happen if we were to vacate and remand? On what point would that be?
If we were to vacate and remand, first the board would have to also address some of the other.
There's two outstanding issues, right?
There's two outstanding. Yeah, there's another Ovadia reference that has not at dispute in this appeal. Like I said, there's 10 individual claim elements. This accounts for two of them. There's 8 more elements. Another reference that we're not even talking about here. The court would have to sort all those things out because the court did not address those in this decision.
Well, why is that? Because it found this issue to be dispositive and it didn't have to address the other issues?
Right. The board found that these limitations failed to be disclosed by the combination via the lack of a motivation to combine, and therefore the board found for the patent owner. So, Your Honor, Judge Dyke, I just kind of want to go back to the simple substitution. This is not a case of simple substitution.
But I don't find that the board found that it wasn't a simple substitution. They seem to say you wouldn't have made the combination because Glykauf already provides for a notification.
And that's where I think there's a disagreement. I think the board certainly acknowledged and took that into consideration about the benefits and whether there was an improvement or not. But I don't think that's dispositive. I don't think that was the categorical rule. The board did not require that to be the only thing. That brings us to the other side of the coin, which is the significant.
But as you have said, this is the dispositive issue we're discussing right now. And let me put on my KSR hat, the practical one.
Yes.
Okay. It seems to me that the claim that we're talking about here has a limitation where the remediation is noticed to the user through a web page. Gloucher discloses everything in the asserted claim except for the web page. Lewis discloses the web page. I mean, I don't understand why this is difficult. Why would a POSITA not combine that and say, if I combine Lewis with Gloucester, then I've met all the limitations in the asserted claim?
The reason why is because it's not a simple substitution. It requires at least 4 additional steps to modify the reference. But the
board didn't do that. The board simply found that there's no motivation to combine because there's no reason to. There's no benefit because this web page that we're talking about, it's already provided in the Gloucher reference.
Right, Your Honor, but the board did explain at APPX 35 the extent of the significant architectural and design changes, and sort of said, and especially because Kleikauf already discloses these benefits, if you sort of take those two factors together, that's why there's no motivation to combine.
Well, except that you admit there's no expert testimony that it would be difficult.
There's no expert testimony that it would be difficult, but the board did recognize these changes, and these were all based on substantial evidence. These steps that would be required to make this change are based on substantial evidence. There's pin sites to the references and also to petitioner's explanation of those references, and it was based on that that the board concluded these significant changes that would be required to accommodate the combination. And so, therefore, it's different than the Intel case in that it's not a simple substitution. In the Intel case, there were a finite number of possibilities. Here, there's no record evidence of whether there are finite possibilities. And that's why the board found that there was no motivation to combine. But the board took the KSR's flexible and expansive approach and took all these. I wouldn't say that the board sort of hung its hat on just the benefits alone. It does mention it, it acknowledges it, but it also counterbalances it with the changes that it would be required.
It considers both, right? I mean, they say a person wouldn't have been motivated to look to Lewis to introduce such significant changes when Kleikauf alone already provides all the alleged benefits, right?
That is correct, Judge Stoll.
So it's not just the changes, the significant changes, but also they're assuming that Kleikauf provides the benefits.
Yes, Your Honor.
So if that's incorrect and Kleikauf doesn't provide the benefits, doesn't their analysis fall apart?
It would be legally incorrect, Your Honor. I'm out of time, but I'll answer your question. Your Honor, it would be legally incorrect if the board or any board were to categorically require there to be a benefit. That's simply one in a number of factors to consider.
But I think what Judge Stoll is telling you is the board relied significantly, if not exclusively, on the lack of benefit from the combination. You admit that's wrong.
I admit that's
wrong. Intel seems to suggest that's wrong. So you've got to send it back, right?
Sure, we could send it back and the board can sort of... But again, it's not that they exclusively or... Well, we don't know about significantly, but they did not exclusively, as Judge Stoll acknowledged, they sort of looked at both factors.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Oliver.
Do you agree we should send this back?
Yes, and to be clear, I think there is sufficient evidence and legal reasoning for the court to reverse with respect specifically to the motivation finding. I think Intel versus PAX...
But we can reverse. We'd have to vacate, right? Because there's some outstanding issues.
The overall disposition...
If it goes back, the board would have to address those other issues as well.
Yes, there are other issues to address. So the ultimate disposition...
We don't reverse findings. I mean, like, it has to be a whole legal issue. Does that make sense? You know, just like we wouldn't affirm a claim construction.
Of course, and I'm just referring, and perhaps if I'm misspeaking here, but in Intel versus PACT, the court held that a motivation had been established when it addressed the board's decision, and it did, of course, vacate and remand after that. And we think that, following that posture, would be appropriate here for this court to hold that, in light of the evidence and arguments presented, that a motivation has been established, but then, yes, vacate and remand because there are other issues that the board, did not address.
What about the simple substitution argument that Mr. Wynn is making? He's saying it's not a simple substitution, though he didn't have any evidence that it was difficult. What's the state of the record about that?
Sure. So we presented evidence that this is just substituting one known technique for another, similar to what was done in Intel versus PACT. So we explained that these two references are presented in the exact same context. These are both systems that are quarantining computers that are trying to connect to a protected network in case they may be infected. So similar context. Both techniques accomplish the same purpose of notifying the user that their computer has been quarantined. And all of this is discussed not only at appendix page 159, where the motivation is first set forth, but then also further explained in the petition's analysis at limitation 1.8, where we go into more details about specifically what Glykoff has and what Lewis has. So that's at appendix 179 through 181. And there's expert testimony supporting all of this. So that, and then of course we also have expert testimony showing this is within the skill of an ordinary artisan. So that does establish the basic requirements to show that these are two known techniques that one of skill in the art would have simply swapped out following the reasoning, for example, in KSR under the known technique rationale, and then applied most recently in Intel versus PACT. And I'll emphasize on the point of this court should hold that the motivation has been established. There is no evidence, as K. Misra agreed today, there is no expert testimony suggesting that this combination would have been difficult or significant change or anything like that. The evidence is one-sided on that issue, and so that is not a separate basis for weighing the evidence in that regard. I'll simply conclude by saying that under KSR and Intel versus PACT, the facts are very similar, and the known technique rationale should have been enough to establish a motivation here, and we believe that's sufficient for the court to reverse on to vacate and remand while also holding that a motivation has been established. But at the very least, this court should vacate and remand for a proper analysis of the motivation, and then, of course, vacate and remand to address the other issues that have not been addressed by the court. Unless there are any further questions, I'll
Thank you, Ms. Oliver. Thank you, Mr. Wynn.
Thank you.
Case is submitted.